And we're up to the Hecha Itmar. This is where we got up to. This was back on Wednesday. Or, no, not that early. Maybe it was on Sunday. I don't remember. So you have, you know, the daf is structured in a way that it has an L shape. You have the skinny lines, the smaller lines on top, and then after you get through the narrow lines, you have the wider lines towards the bottom. So smack in the middle of the wider lines, you have Ribsa Torah, which is the first word in the line is Ribsa, and then it says Torah. Do you have that? You can count up from the bottom. Maybe that's the easiest way. Probably about 9 lines up from the bottom. How much do you count?
For you.
Okay. So just as by way of introduction, what do we have? What do we know? There's a machlokas between Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. The case is where you're chayev both Mammon and Malkus. Mammon and Malkus. We have a principle called Kedei Rishoso, which tells me that you can only get one of the two punishments. Which of the two punishments should you get? According to Ula, we have a principle called Mamono Mishalim, Milka Lo Lucky. He pays the mammon and he doesn't get malchus. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's just the opposite. It's milka lucky, umamona lo mishalim. So the Gemara asks, what is the source for Ula? How does Ula know that in the case of an overlap between mammon and malchus, you pay the mammon and you're exempt from the malchus? And the Gemara quotes what we call a gzeira shava. What is the gzeira shava? In the case of Parshas Ones in Kitetze, it says Velo Siel Isha Tachas Asher Ina. And in the Parsha of Chavola, it also says Tachas. It says Ayin Tachas Ayin. So that just like in the case of Chavola, the Torah says that you pay mammon, the 5 categories of tashlumei chavola, and you don't get malchus, even though you violated the law of Pen Yosef. So too in the case of ones, the Torah says tachas asher ina, and the word tachas appears, teaching us that you pay the knas and you don't get malchus. So if, let's say, for example, a man would be ma'anes amamzeres, for which he would get malchus. Instead of getting malchus, says Ula, he pays the knas, and that exempts him from the malchus. It replaces the malchus. Why? Because of the gzeira shava that equates it to chavola. That's the shita of Ula. Now, in the context of Ula, the Gemara wants to know, well, what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with the case of Chavola? Now, it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the Gzeirah Shava of Tachas Tachas, but nevertheless, we know in the case of Chavola that the Torah says that he pays, and therefore he doesn't get Malchus. Obviously, Chavol is going to be the exception to the rule. We have a similar question on Rabbi Yochanan from the case of Edim Zomimim. In the case of Edim Zomimim, if, let's say, two Edim testify against Reuven that he owes 200 zuz, and then they become Zomimim, he pays the 200 zuz, he doesn't get Malchus. Once again, we have another proof for Ula that Mamona Mishalim or Milka Lo Lucky. And once again, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that Edim Zomimim is going to be an exception to the rule. How does the Gemara justify these two cases of Chavola and Edim Zomimim as exceptions to the rule? So that's the last thing that we did, and that is Rabbi Loa. Rabbi Loa says, Beferish Ribsa Torah, and he applies that principle, Beferish Ribsa Torah, twice. Once to Chavola, and once to Edim Zomimim. In the case of Edim Zomimim, the Torah says Vasisim lo kasher zomav, and it tells you that if the Edom testified against someone that he's chayiv mamon, he has to pay that mamon. That's the beferish rips of Torah Edom zomim l'tashlumei mamon. In the case of Chavola, likewise, the Torah says that he pays ayin tachas ayin, which Chazal says mamon, and that's called beferish rips of Torah chovel b'chaver l'tashlumei. Later on, the Gemara is going to go into detail, that's what we want to cover today, exactly how this Yalfusa operates. So we're up to the word Vehecha, that's where we got up to. Vehecha itmar de Rabbi Ilah. In what context did Rabbi Ilah make this statement? Aha, on the Mishnah in Makkos. The Mishnah in Makkos says the following, this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, in the case of Me'idim, Edim testified, Me'idim anu es ish ploni shechayv l'chaver masayim zuz, v'nitzu zomimim, is we have the principle of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has what's called lo Hashem. What does that mean, lo Hashem? According to Rabbi Meir, in this particular case of Edim Zom, there's an overlap of two different parashios. There's the parasha in Dvarim of Vasisim lo kasher zomam, and is also a parsha in Shmos Perek Chof, Lo Sana B'Riachin, the Aser Sadir, Lo Sana B'Riachin Shaker, which generates a Chiyuv Malkus. So let's start with the shame of V'Asisim Lo Kasher Zoma. V'Asisim Lo Kasher Zoma tells me that just like the Edom tried to force Reuven to pay 200 zuz, they too will have to pay the 200 zuz. So as far as Tashlumi Mamon, that's inherent in the parasha of Kasher Zoma. Then we have another shame, another parasha, and that's the parasha of Losana B'Yached Shaker. And that too generates a punishment, but in this case not the punishment of Mamon, but rather the punishment of Malkus. So therefore, in this case, Nimtu Zomim, Lokim U'Meshalmim. We apply both punishments. Shalo Hashema Mavili De Malkus Mavili De Tashlumin. The Malkus the Chayiv because of Losan, the Tashlumin the Chayiv because of Kasher Zoma. And this Lo Min Hashem means that it's almost an accidental or coincidental overlap of two different parashas. Each one is Machayiv its own onesh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is not willing to apply the principle of Kedei Rishoso, which means Bishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo. The Chachamim Omrim Kolam Mishalim Eino Loke. In this case, since Kasher Zomam tells me he has to pay the 200 zuz that we mentioned before, therefore, Kedei Rishasa tells me that you cannot impose another punishment upon him. And therefore, the Malkus is going to be undermined in favor of the Tashlumei Mamon. So the Gemara asks, V'neima kol aloke eina mishalim. Why did the Chachamim give preference to the parasha of Kasher Zomam as opposed to the parasha of Losana B'Riachid Shokar and the parasha of Malkus? So let's turn it around the other way around. If you're saying Kedei Rishos, so we can only impose one punishment of two, why not give the Malkus instead of the Mamon? And here's where the statement of Rabbi Ilah was mentioned in this context. Beferish ripsa Torah edim zom l'tashlume. That the Torah went out of its way to tell us that in this very case, where there's an overlap of Malkus and Mamon, that we make him pay the Mamon instead of the Malkus. Where do we see this? Heichan ripsa Torah, michte. Now that pasuk is pasuk Yutes in the 19th chapter of Sefer Dvarim. Now we'll look at pasuk Chaf, the very next pasuk, and it says there, "V'lo sachos einecha nefesh b'nefesh ayin b'ayin shein b'shein yad b'yad regel b'rogel." Now, once the Torah has said V'asisim lo kasher zomam, and we apply the punishment to the Edom that they wanted to beat out to the Nido, then automatically I know that it's going to be ayin v'ayin, shein b'shein, etc., etc., culminating in the pasuk of yad v'yad, regel b'regel, why did the Torah feel compelled to add that? Lamali. Comes along Ravi Law, and he says that yad b'yad means dovar anitein miyad liyad. That the Torah went out of its way in this particular case to tell us which punishment we're going to mete out to the Edim Zomim. It's a punishment that's called miyad liyad, which means dovar anitein miyad liyad, umayniu mama. So that phrase in the Torah of Yad B'Yad, which is interpreted al-Pitosh Balpeh as Dovar Anite Miyad Liyad, that's a reference to Mama. That's the principle of Ravi Law, and that's called Beferish Rips in Torah, Edim Zomel and Mama, Miyad Liyad.
But he only applies that in case there is a conflict between punishments. I mean, you could have said that he's the Rips in Torah that I always make him pay money, even when the punishment is Skila or Kamalkis, or, I mean, he's not saying that.
Right, no. He's saying that in a case where Kasha Zomim would tell me that he should pay Mammon, but at the same time, for violating Eidus Sheker, he should get Malkus. The Torah went out of its way to add Yad B'Yad to exclude Malkus. Meaning, we have the principle of Kedei Rishah, so we know that if there's an overlap of both Malkus and Mammon, we have to give one of the two. Which of the two should we give? And the Torah added Yad B'Yad, which means Mammon, to tell me that we're going to prefer Mammon over Malkus.
Does he make the same legal when there's a conflict between giving a punishment of Skila and punishment of money?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's only limited to this case of Mammon and Malkus, because otherwise we have what's called Ason. You remember the Pasuk Ason? And that Pasuk teaches me that when you put someone to death, you don't make him pay Mammon. But the big question would be, in the case of Malkus and Mammon, where the Torah says give him one punishment, the Torah doesn't specify which punishment to give him. And here we need the drush of Yad B'Yad. So again, this is not necessarily a universal principle. Even Ula, who makes this into a universal principle, it's only based on Gzeir Shav of Tachas Tachas. But in the context of Edim Zomimim, and this could defend Rabbi Yochanan, we have Beferish Ripsa Torah Edim Zomim Lamama. And that makes it into an exceptional case where the Torah went out of its way to say that you pay the moment and you don't get Malkus.
According to a mayor, who says Lo Min Hashem, so three quarters of the cases we've learned by Kum Leib and Rav Minei, it becomes relevant.
I mean, why not apply Lo Min Hashem to other cases?
In other words, if he burns the guy's Gaddish and he kills the Eved,
right?
So it's Lo Min Hashem. If he shoots an arrow and he kills someone and rips the Shirayim, it's Lo Min Hashem.
Right, but again, in all cases when you have Misa and Mammon, then we're going to apply the principle of Ason. Right? In Ason, Lo Yonash.
You're going back to his
correct
differentiation.
Right. Rabbi Meir is only talking about a case of Malkus and Mammon, and he's saying that Lo Min Hashem is enough
when it comes to Malkus and Mammon.
Correct. Say, Nochinami, if you have Lo Min Hashem in Malkus and Mammon, then you give them both punishments according to a mayor. In the case of Misa and Mammon, or Misa and Malkus, then the Torah says, Now, we have another case that supports Ula, and that's Chovel B'Chavera. So here also, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Ilah, that Chovel B'Chavera is an exception, and the Torah says that here, when there's an overlap of Malkus and Mammon, then you get Malkus, then you get Mammon, you pay the Mammon, and you don't get Malkus. How? How so? Michtiksiv, the Torah says, in the parash of Chovel B'Chavera, this is at the end of Parashas Emor, it says, Kasher Osa, Kenye Osa Lo, this pasuk is Pasuk Yutes in Perikov Dalit, and now we're going to fast forward to Pasuk Chaf, the very next Pasuk. So what does that mean? Kasha Osa Keni Osa Lo. It says Shever Tachas Shever, Ain Tachas Ain, Shein Tachas Shein, Kasha Yite Mubi Adam, Keni Nosein Bo. Now, we just finished saying in the previous Pasuk, Kasha Osa Keni Nosein Lo. So why did the Torah go out of its way to repeat Lomali, why the extra pasuk? And here we're going to emphasize the word nesina. Dover sheyesh bo nesina. Before we had Yad V'Yad, which means Dover Anitan V'Yad V'Yad. Now we have the word Nesina Ki Nasein, and that's telling me Dover Sheish Bo Nesina My Ninu Mamon. And here the Torah is going out of its way to tell you that in this overlap between Malkus for violating Lo Yosef and Mamon under the law of Chavolah, we mete out the punishment of Yinasein Bo. Now again, here's a case where we would apply Rabbi Meir's principle, right? Rabbi Meir's principle of Lo Min Hashem, because we now have a violation of a law in the Torah Pen Yosef in the case of Chavolah. We also have Chiyuvei Tashlumei Mamon, which are derived from the Pasuk Ken Yosa Kasher Asa Ken Yinasein Lo Shever Tacha Shever, etc., etc. And if it's Lo Min Hashem, then he should get both Mamon and Malkus, and that's exactly Rabbi Meir's opinion. But as far as the Chacham are concerned, Rabbi Yochanan, we have a choice between Mamon and Malkus. We choose only one and not the other. We don't apply the principle of Lo Min Hashem because we have this overriding principle of Kedei Rishaso. Which of the two punishments should we mete out? Here, Rabbi Yochanan is going to avail himself of the drasha of Rabbi Ilah, two drashos, one drasha for Edom Zom and the other for Chavolah, to teach you that these are exceptions to the rule. And in these cases, but only in these two cases, are we going to mechayev you Mamon instead of giving you the Malkus. So the Gemara right away asks Rabbi Yochanan, my time alo omer ka'ula. Why does Rabbi Yochanan feel a certain inhibition? After all, the final conclusion of Ula was based on a Gzeres Shov of Tachas Tachas, which teaches you that just like in the case of Chavola, so too in other cases, like for example we had the case of Ma'anes, you pay Mamon and you don't get Malkus.
You can't have such a choice.
Why? So maybe you could have said that Rabbi Yochanan didn't have such a Gzeres Shov, but the Gemara wants to give a more fundamental answer. And we'll see how Ula is going to counter against this answer. And Cain, if you accept Ula, that as a general rule, when there's an overlap between Mamon and Malkus, then you pay the Mamon and you don't get the Malkus, is what are we going to do with the case of Ba'al Achoso? Ba'al Achoso is one example of many, but in the case of Ba'al Achoso, Bitalta Ervas Achoscha Lo Segala. In other words, the Torah has a whole parasha of Arayos, and in that parasha of Arayos, the Torah gives you Losa says, and the lav or the violation thereof would generate Malkus. Well, according to Ula, you're never going to get Malkus for Ba'al Achoso. Why not? Because according to Ula, what you're going to do is you're going to pay Mamon. So I'll read to you a summary here. If you take a look at Tosfos Dibra Maschil Im Kain, so you could read it inside. I'm going to just read to you a summary of it because the Ritva is going to argue against this Tosfos. He says the following: that in a case of a lav she'ein bo maisa or a lav anitak le'esei, we could also say, well, the lav is no longer going to generate Malkus. So why does Rabbi Yochanan assume that every case of a losas in the Torah, there must be Malkus, right? I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Yochanan, every time the Torah says losaseh, there has to be Malkus. Well, there are many losases which don't generate Malkus. For example, lav shem bo maisa, lav anitak le'esei. Right. So why not say bitalta halav? You now undermine the lav, and there's no Malkus. He says kevan she shem alav atzmo einu bar Malkus. He says that there's something inherent in the nature of the Avera which excludes it from Malkus. There's no Maisa, or the Torah gave you the opportunity to fix up the lav with an essay. Mashen Ken Kan, here, in this discussion about Ba'al Achoscha, is it's Shaycha Malkus. There's no reason why we should exclude it from Malkus. There's nothing inherent in the Avera that should remove it from Malkus. So therefore, what inhibits Rabbi Yochanan is the Gzeres Shava, because the Gzeres Shava of Tachas Tachas is using Chavolah, Chovah B'Chavero, as your paradigm for the law of Malkus. And basically it's telling you that just like in the case of Chavolah you don't get Malkus, so too in other cases you don't get Malkus. Of course, this is not a problem for Ula, right? Ula has Gzeira Shava, right? So Rav Yochanan doesn't necessarily have Gzeira Shava. So he has to decide based on logic whether to accept this Gzeira Shava. Mai Kusha up. So now we have to ask the following. Mai Kusha Zagamara Rav Yochanan Madula Lom and Kula Ro Ain on them Dan Gzeira Shava Miyatsmo. So therefore Rav Yochanan never had the Gzeira Shava. So what was the Gemara trying to clarify here when it says my time alo omar ka'ula? What do you mean my time alo omar ka'ula? You didn't have the gzera shava. Ela shagmar rotsa salavar l'Rav Yochanan shalo dorash gzera shava ma yilmad mitachas asher ina. Does he have some sort of alternative derivation that he derives from the pasuk of tachashel ina, which would mean that it's not called mufta? Again, we have to look, you know, this would require more study. I'm not prepared for that, but there are certain rules of Gzeira Shava. You need a mufta, and if you use the pasuk for other things, then it's not mufta. Right, all sorts of rules. So he says the following, that HaGemara Ratzal Levala Rav Yochanan Shalodorosh Gzeira Shava Ma Yilmad, what does he derive from Tachas? From Tachas Asher Ima. Okay, now I want to present the Ritva to you. The Ritva says the following. Tosus was asking, there are many lavim in the Torah that don't generate Malkus, and Rav Yochanan has no objection based on this Gzeirah Shava to to say that you know, in the case of the Gzeirah Shava, he says, what are you going to do? You're going to tell me that lavim don't generate Malkus? What about those cases of Malkus, of lavim that don't generate Malkus? Says the Ritva, Adayin Matsinu Din Vinosan Leavia Nara Bachoso. In other words, we could possibly come up with a scenario in which the, let's say, the Boel Achoso, a person has a relationship with his Achos, and yet he doesn't get Malkus. For example, he says, in Lo Hisrubo, let's say he had this relationship with his sister, but there was no Hasra. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what we would say in such a case is that there should have been Malkus, but one of the conditions for Malkus was not met. Why? Because there was no what? There was no Asra. And therefore, there's no Malkus. But at least in the case where there was Asra, there should be Malkus for the Averis Halav of Ervas Achosa Lo Segala. Elo what? He's chayiv to pay Knas. Because the Torah says, V'nasan Lavi Anara, in the case of Achoso. Again, we're assuming that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Nechunya ben Akkara. We discussed that already, right, on various occasions. So that even in the case of a Chiv Kares, there is a Tashlume Ones, and that's what the Torah means when it says V'nasan Lavi Anara, included in V'ani Anara, is Achoso. Right, so he has to give the father of this girl, who's his own sister, he has to give her the knas, and Rabbi Yochanan could justify that because there was no asra for Malkus. If on the other hand there was asra for Malkus, then he would get Malkus. According to Ula, on the other hand, even in a case where there was Malkus, we would still exempt him from Malkus. Even in the case, I'm sorry, where there was Hasro, we'd still exempt him from Malkus. Why? Because according to Ulu, we have a hardcore rule that in a case where there's an overlap of Momen and Malkus, we derive from Tachas, that you pay the Momen and you don't get Malkus. So it works like this, that according to Tosfos, we may have cases where the Lav itself doesn't lend itself to Malkus. For example, Lav Shebo Maisa, Lav Anita Kliese. That's okay. You have other cases where the Lav could lend itself to Malkus. Again, there may be conditions that have to be met. For example, you have to have Asroa. And here Rabbi Yochanan says, how can you undermine the Chiyuv Malkus in the case of Baal Achoso? Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Ula, if the If the achoso were a nara, again, you could always say that maybe you could be mekayim the malchus in a case where, in a case where there was no asra. No, that's not according to Ula, I'm sorry. In the case where she wasn't a nara, she was a bogeres. But nevertheless, in the case where she's a nara, and he violates the isur lav of lo sigala, according to Ula, there will never be malchus, even if there was asra for malchus. And that was Rabbi Yochanan's objection. How could you have a scenario in which, even if the other conditions for malchus, like for example, asra, were fulfilled, you still don't get malchus? So then what you're doing is, in this situation of achoso, if she's a nara besula, he has a relationship with her, his own sister, then according to Ula, he doesn't get malchus. Why? Because the Torah says, v'yanasan la v'yanara, and that replaces the malchus. So in this case, you've taken a lav, which was violated, and you've told me that even if there would have been asra, and all the conditions would have been met, nevertheless you're telling me, Ula, that there would not be any malchus. How can there be a situation where the guy violates a lav, and there's no malchus? So let's just get a little bit more into the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. Okay, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to tell me that in the case of Chovel B'Chavero, based on Rabbi Law, that we have this drush of what? Of Yad V'Yad, or Dover Sheish Bo Nesina, that's more precise, that you pay the money for Chavol, Dmei Chavol, but you don't get Malchus. So Rabbi Yochanan, what about the lav of Lo Yosef? Every case of Chavola, presumably, he violates the lav of Lo Yosef. And yet he doesn't get Malchus, because the Torah says that when you violate the lav of Lo Yosef, you pay any one or all of five categories of Tashlumei Chavola. And can be talked to Lo Yosef, pen Yosef. Right, there are two psukim. The one pasuk says Arbon Yakenu Lo Yosef, and the other pasuk says Pen Yosef La Kosal Eila Makaraba V'Nikla Chicha Bet Leinecha. So we have now a violation of a lav in the case of Chavola, and yet this lav would presumably would never generate Malchus. Then you could ask the same kash on Rabbi Yochanan from Eidim Zomenit. Eidim Zomenit Nami Im Kein Bitalta V'Hoya Im Bin Hakos HaRosha. The Torah says that for this Eidus Sheker we give him Malchus, and we've determined that he perjured himself from the Hazama situation. So the Eidim Zom now we've established that they have violated the lav of Lo Sanav Reachet Shaker, about which the Torah says Vayim Ben Hakos HaRosha. When are you going to have a situation of Im Hoya Ben Hakos HaRosha for the violation of Lo Sanav? Meaning the Torah says that if the Eidim purging themselves, then the punishment is going to be kashazom v'lasos liyochid v'sisim lo kashazom. Great. And according to the drush of Rabbi Law, the asisim lo kashazom is followed by a pasuk, and now Ula is going to derive that in this case you pay the mamon and you don't get malchus. Well, under what circumstances would the Torah say that you do get malchus for this law? Ella, the answer is that there is a scenario in which you get malchus for this law, and there's no payment. For example, the Gemara says Eidim Zomimim.
This is the Ritva.
No. This is, I'm just reading through the sugya now.
Oh.
And the sugya says that Rabbi Yochanan will come up with a case where you get malchus in Eidim Zomimim in a case of Efshel Kiyume, meaning we could fulfill the pasuk of Voyim Ben Akos HaRosh, you give him malchus, the Eidus Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So let's just quickly review. The first Mishnah in Masechta Malchus establishes that even if the Eidim were Kohanim, we don't make them into a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, meaning a Cholol, and we don't fulfill the pasuk of Asisim Lokashazom, because there's Lo V'Lo Lazaro, etc. And the Mishnah establishes that they get Malchus. So here's a case where Eidim violate the Iser of Losana Be'achet Shaker, and the Torah says, Vayim ben Akal Sarosh, we have to give them Malkus, and we will give them Malkus. So the Lav of Losana generates Malkus in a case where we don't fulfill Kasha Zomam, literally, we cannot make them into Chalol in the way that they want to do, make the Nidon into a Chalol. And we don't apply the principle of Kasha Zomam in this case, so we go back to the universal rule that if you violate a lav, in this case Losana, you get Malkus. So Rabbi Yochanan can still reconcile the drasha that teaches me that the Edom Zomimim will pay Mammon and will not get Malkus with the fact that there's a lav, and the lav itself would generate Malkus under certain conditions. And those conditions mean when we cannot apply the principle of Kasha Zomam. So it works like this. Stage number one, the takeoff, is the following. You violated Losana Be'achet Shokar, you should get Malk. Stage number two is the Torah says, Vasisa Lo Kasha Zoma. And that pasuk is followed by the words, Yad B'Yad. So the Yad B'Yad tells me that Vasisa Lo Kasha Zoma is fulfilled by paying Malk. Now you'll ask me, but what about the Losana? Under what circumstances, in what scenario can we fulfill the Losana as a generator of Malkus? Because the Torah says, and our answer is, in a case where we cannot apply Kasha Zomam. Because, again, it was only because of the Kasha Zomam that we removed the Malkus. We replaced the Malkus with Mammon, because the Pasuk Dovrai Niten Miad Liad. Well, if there is no Kasha Zomam, then we go back to Losana B'Yachet Shaker, which generates Malkus. So we do have a possibility of generating Malkus as long as Kasha Zomam cannot be applied. When is it impossible to apply Kasha Zomam, even if the Eidim are Kohanim? That's in the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutza. Hence they get Malkus.
So the whole Parsha of Arayas in Torah is only wherever there's a Din of Malkus and not a Misa, is only in the case of if they're Kohanim. That's a rather deichic terrace.
No, what we're saying is the following. That in the case of Ervas Achos Cholo Segala, Rabbi Yochanan is going to insist that the Malkus replaces the Tashlume Mom. We have a Gzeresh Shava of Tachas Tachas. Rabbi Yochanan never accepted that Gzeresh Shava for whatever reason.
Right.
And that's a parasha. So therefore, when would we be fulfilling that rule that every lav generates Malkus? So in the case of Baal Achoso, that's exactly what we're going to say. We're going to say that if there was no Asra, and therefore there's no Malkus, then he's going to pay the Knas, and there's no Malkus. But in the case where there was Asra, says Rabbi Yochanan, under those circumstances, he's Chayav Malkus. And that's when the Torah says Lo Segala. Lo Segala means you're Chayav Malkus. That's how Rabbi Yochanan understood it. In the case of Edom Zomim, what would be a situation in which there would be no Mammon, and we would not apply the principle of Kasha Zomam and Yad Dovra Nitin Liad Yad? That's the case of Ben Grushim and Chalutza. Hence, he would get Malkus because he violated Losana Be'achet Shaker. So, in every single lav in the Torah, we have to find a scenario in which we fulfill the lav, and fulfilling the lav according to Rabbi Yochanan means we meet at Malkus.
So the whole union of Arayas, whenever there's Malkus, either when there's Edom Zomim, either there was no Asra, or else by Edom Zomim, if it was a coin or a,
In other words, in every lav,
that's not a daichik.
In every lav, we're going to say that in the absence of Asra, you don't get Malkus, but if there was Asra, you do get Malkus.
I understand that.
So what's the dochak? I lost you.
So you're saying that the Torah is putting down a parsha of Edom Zomim by Baal Achoso only in such a case.
I'm not sure. I don't
want
to.
There was either no Asra, or if the Edom were coined.
I lost you a little bit. We have the case of Baal Achoso, so we have a case of Edom Zomim. Those are two separate cases.
I don't want to be much reactive.
No, I'm just saying. Let's just make sure we're on the same page.
I understand it.
Baal Achoso has nothing to do with Edom Zomim. Baal Achoso was just a way in which Rabbi Yochanan demonstrated that Ula has a problem. Why? Because if his sister was a Nara, then even though he violates the law, there's no malchus. That's something that Rabbi Yochanan couldn't tolerate.
Let's go right there. I don't want to do my
thing. Wait, just one second. I'm going right there. Yeah. Don't worry. You shouldn't get nervous, sir. But I am going right there.
I'm the most laid-back person you've ever seen.
Yeah, okay. So I am going right there. So here's the Vayter. The Vayter is the following. That again, for the Rabbi Yochanan has I call it the 14th tenet of the faith. One of the Yud Gimel, the Yud Dalet Ikri Adas. What's that tenet? That whenever the Torah says lo, whatever, the Torah gives you a lav, you have to get malchus. Or at least, there has to be a possibility that you could get malchus under certain circumstances. His objection, Rabbi Yochanan, against Ula is that Ula turns out, in the case of Baal Achoso, assuming that she's a Nara, would violate the law and yet never ever get Malkus, because the Torah says, V'nosan la'via Nara chamishim kesef. And Ula's principle is, based on tachas tachas, that if you're paying the kesef, you don't get Malkus. How could it be, says Rabbi Yochanan, based on his tenet of the faith, that there's a violation of a law and there's no possibility of getting Malkus? And the answer is that when the Torah says you pay knas for Baal Achoso, if she's a Nara and you pay it to the father in the whole 9 yards, that's in the case of what? Where there was no Asra. But if there had been Asra, then Baal Achoso, even if she's a Nara and even if she has a father, and I'll think, nevertheless, there's no knas, but rather you give Malkus. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, in an overlap between Malkus and Mammon, the rule is you get Malkus. If there was no Asra, then there's no Malkus, and now we're free to impose the penalty of the Knas. In the case of Edom Zomimim, where did Rabbi Yochanan find a possibility of giving Malkus for the violation of Lo Sadeh Reachet Shoker? Here's a law where the Torah says clearly that you have to get Malkus. And the answer is, because of the case where there is no Kasher Zoma. So that basically, Lo Sana Reachet Eid Shoker, square one, that would generate Malkus, like any other law. We're going to remove the Malkus in the case of Edom Zomimim, where it's possible to impose a Kasha Zomam situation. And the Torah would say that if they testified against Reuven that he's Chayav Masayim Zuz, in such a case there's no Malkus, he pays the Masayim Zuz. And the reason for that is because it says in the Pasuk, Dovra Nitem Yad Liyah. That's only because we can apply Kasha Zoma. And Kasha Zoma now replaces the Averis Alav and the Malkus for the Averis Alav. But in a case where we cannot apply Kasha Zoma, the Gemara gives one case, maybe there are other cases. Right? For example, let's say two Edom would testify that they saw the new moon. And we find out that they couldn't have been there at that time because Imanu Ayisem and their Edom Zomim. So in such a case, what do? Make them into a new moon? We give them Malkus. So whenever we cannot fulfill the Kasha Zomam, then we go back to square one and we give them Malkus. Now what about Chovel B'Chavero? Here's a case of Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, and when are you going to get Malkus? So in the case of Edom Zomam, we found the situation where we cannot fulfill the Kasha Zomam, hence we went back to the Chiyuv Malkus for violating the Law of Lo Sana. In the case of Chovel b'chavero, when are we going to find a hechetimtza where we cannot impose the chiv mamon, which is derived from the pasuk of what ken yinaseg bo, and instead we'll go back to the universal principle that every violation of a law generates malchus. And the Gemara says kishiko kigon shiko akosh ein bo shavah pruta. Where would we find a case where Tashlumei Nezikin don't apply, Tashlumei Chavola, in the case where he violates the law of Lo Yosef, but the Nechbal does not suffer a loss of a monetary value? According to Halacha, when do we consider it? What's the shear, the minimal shear of Mammon that's considered a loss of monetary value? That's only called what? Shava Pruta. And if the Hakol was less than a Shava Pruta, so in such a case there's no Mammon, and we will not fulfill the pasuk of Kain Yinasein Bo, Dover Shesh Bo Nesina, and we go back to the violation of the Lav, which generates Malkus. So in the case of Iko, Hakol Shein Bo Shava Pruta, he gets Malkus. You know, it's an interesting thing, because if I was the Chovel, Or if I was his advisor, I would have told him hit him a little bit harder. Because then there'll be akash yesh b'shav prutis. You'll pay a pruta and you're potter for malchus. What would you rather have? Would you rather have the malchus or pay a pruta? But the answer is he gave him akah, and akah was not a shav pruta. So in such a case, there's no yinasein bo. There's no chiyuv tashlume nezikin, and therefore he gets malchus for violating the pen yosef. Oh, says the Gemara, if that be the case, then I don't understand what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. Rabbi Yochanan's objection to Ula was from Achoso. Why? Because the Torah in the case of Achoso says that V'nosan Lavi Anara Chamishim Kesef, which according to Ula means that he doesn't get Malchus. That was Ula's theory. Which means that according to Ula, even if he had Asra for Malchus, he would not get Malchus, because the Torah says that he has to pay Knas. So now Rabbi Yochanan stands up and he objects, and he says, then what are we going to do with the lav of Achoscha? Because that lav would never generate Malchus. Well, you're right, it wouldn't generate Malchus if it was Achoso Nara, but let's say it was Achoso Bogeres, in that case there's no chi of Knas, and he would get Malchus. So now we go back to our original question. What was Rav Yochanan's objection against the drush of Ula, the Gzeirah Shav Tachas Tachas? Rav Yochanan, the Gemara suggested, had this tenet of the faith, as I call it, that every lav has to generate Malchus, and in a case of Baal Achoso Nara, according to Ula, would never ever generate Malchus, even if the conditions for Malchus were met, and even if he got Asra. Because according to Ula, Tachas Tachas teaches me that he pays the money and he doesn't get Malchus. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan feels that there won't be any Malchus? What about Achoso Bogeres? The Gemara could have given a case of Achoso Ketana as well, but that's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir Chachom, whether you pay Knas in the case of a Ketan. But everybody agrees that there's no Knas in the case of Ogeres. So again, for violating the law of Eres Achoscha, Lo Segale, Yechayv Malchus, if there was Hasra. If it was a case of Achoso, Nara, and a Basula, and the whole 9 yards, then the Torah says that instead of getting Malchus, again, I'm going with Ula. We replace that with what? With paying the Knas. What's Rabbi Yochanan batting about here? That Ula has completely, thrown overboard the Chi of Malchus for this lav. What about a case of Achoso Bogeres? And I can promise you that in 99 out of 100 cases of a Baal Achoso will be Achoso Bogeres. Maybe I'm wrong about that, I don't know. But anyway, a woman is a Bogeres from the age of 12 and a half until she dies. That's a major chunk of her life. She's a Nara Sachako for 6 months. So you're telling me that Ula have completely undermined the lav of Achoso Lo Segale? That's not true. Because assuming the conditions of Knas are not extant, for example, she's a Bogeres, then it will be Malchus. And Ula doesn't deny that. So what inhibited Rabbi Yochanan from the Gzeirah Shav of Ula? And the answer is that Ula needed this Tachas HaShar'ina for something else, and therefore it's not considered Mufna for Gzeirah Shav. Again, you'll have to ask, I meant to say Rabbi Yochanan. Did I say Ula? Sorry. I meant to say Rabbi Yochanan. And then the Gemara is going to turn it around and say, well, if Rabbi Yochanan needed the Pasuk Tachas for X, then what is Ula going to do? How is he going to derive X? He needs the Tachas for Gzeirah Shav. How do we know that in addition to paying Chamishim Kesef, there are other payments that the Ma'anis has to pay, which is called Boshes, Upagam, and Tsar, and so forth. In other words, the Hamamina of Abaye is the following. It could be that there are general guidelines and universal rules of Nezikin, which mean you have to pay compensation. But here, in this case of Ones, the Torah says you pay a Knas of Chamishim Kesef. The Hamamina now is that the Chamishim Kesef is all-inclusive. In other words, the Chamishim Kesef of the Knas replaces the normal payments of compensation of nezikin. How do I know that the Torah, when it was mechadish knas in the case of onus, that knas is in addition, it's on top of the regular payments of compensation for boshes, pagam, and tsar? Maybe everything's included in the 50 kesef, that the Torah gave a global price, you know, a price tag is how much he has to pay. And the Torah now is saying that's what he has to pay and nothing else. And that's going to replace the normal payments of compensation for damages. So Abai says we have to derive this from the pasuk. I'll read the whole pasuk. V'nasana isha shochevi ma lavia narach habishim kosev elosi elisha tachas asherino. Now this tachas asherino is kind of philosophical, almost. You know, why is he paying this knas? Because he caused her some sort of an anguish. Abai's not happy with that. Abai doesn't think that the Torah was really compelled or justified to add tachas hasharina unless it's telling me something halachic. You know, to just give a drasha, and you know, it's very good that we have to tar and feather this guy because he raped a woman, and the Torah says tachas hasharina. Nay, there's something more halachic here about tachas hasharina. Hai tachas hasharina, this is called a miut. It's telling you that this knas of chamishim kesef is for X, for the inui. There may be other sufferings that she suffers, which is called boshes supagam, and the Torah is indicating that the knas is not an all-encompassing payment for every harm and every loss that he caused her, but no, it's limited to cover one loss, and only that one loss. And what's that called? Tachas hasharina. Michlal, implying that for other losses that she suffered, ika boshes supagam. So the Torah is indicating that, forget about all the other losses, I'm going to add another payment for the tachas hasharina. So the tachas hasharina is the increment beyond the suffering and the loss of boshes supagam. The Torah is saying, in addition to the boshes supagam that has to be paid, because that's the universal halacha of chovil b'chaveru, there's on top of that a tachas hasharina payment. And what is the tachas hasharina payment? Chamishim kesef. So Mimela comes out that Rabbi Yochanan is not free to use tachas hasharina for gzeirah shava. As I said before, you'll take out the encyclopedia Talmudit, Erech gzeirah shava. He's got pages and pages there on the rules and regulations that govern gzeirah shava. And one of them is mufna, that has to be extra, that the Torah added an extra word in two different contexts. So if it's the same word in two different contexts, we equate the two. But that's only because the word was ibarik, it was unnecessary.
Great word, Ibrick.
Yeah, but here it's necessary because I needed to teach us what? That in addition to knas, there's a payment to boshes supagam. The Ula, now we get back to Ula. Ula already uses the tachas for gzeirah shava to teach me that mama mishalim milka lo laki. How is he going to derive this very important dramatic conclusion that the knas is not a replacement for boshes supagam? That the second half of this perek is dedicated to this concept of boshes supagam as an additional payment. This is a big deal. So if he doesn't have Abayi's learning, because Ula understood that tachas hasharina is mufna for gzeirah shava, he must have had some other source from which he derived the conclusion of Abayi that boshes supagam is that knas is an additional payment to boshes supagam. Neither Rava, the Omar Rava, Omar Kra, the Torah says, where is this? This I think is in Mishpatim. Let's see if I'm right here. V'nasan la'isha shochevi mo la'via nara. Oh no, I'm sorry, la'via nara. La'via nara is in Parsha Ki Teitzei in Ma'anez. Chamishim kosef. Now, once again, there are some extra words in this pasuk. The Torah in the previous pasuk has described a situation. Here, if we could die to open up a Sefer Dvarim, would you mind? Oh, I thought I saw a Dvarim here. There should be a Chumash somewhere here, no? All right. Anyway, you'll have to trust me on this. That in the previous pasuk, the Torah describes the whole scenario of a man having this relationship. So, why did the Torah have to repeat itself and say, Hashochevi ma? Who else is going to pay the knas? There are only two.
The Natan means that person.
Correct. It means the person who in the previous pasuk was described as the Ma'anis. Mm-hmm. So why did the Torah have to say Ashochevi Ma? So Rava says something brilliant. That what the Torah is telling you is that this payment is earmarked for Hashochev. What does that mean? In addition to the payments of Boshe Supagam, there has to be a payment of what?
Chamishim.
Of Shochev, of Chamishim. Why? Because forget about Boshe Supagam that she suffered. Okay. He has to pay for his Shechiva. Chamishim. And what's that called? Hanoas Shechiva. And this is pretty amazing, because according to Abaye, learning the Pasuk Taksir, you know, the Torah is imposing a penalty on him to pay for the Inui that she suffered. Comes along Rava, and the Torah is saying that he has to pay that Knas for the Shechiva that he enjoyed. Again, I assume that this would have philosophical implications if you were writing the Mar Nevuchim and the Rambam.
No, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, right?
You would ask the following question: why does the Torah impose a chiyuv knas of chamishim kesef in this case of ma'anis? And if you were writing a guide to the perplexed, you would have to say that he is a bad guy. He should be tarred and feathered, right? Because he's a ma'anis, right? I think in today, and I'm not sure about this, but in the federal courts, I think rape is considered one of the most severe punishments that you could have. No. Says Rava, that's not how you read the pasuk. Although it does say tachas asher ina, but the pasuk adds another element into the equation. V'nasana ish lavi anara, but it doesn't say v'nasana ish lavi anara. It says hashochev ima. He's paying for the anas shchiva. So Rabosa, if you have a chance to prepare a drasha for Shabbos parshas ki teitze, you'll write a thesis on why does the Torah say that you pay a knas. Okay, that's. I know you're all darshanim, so I'm sure you'll all appreciate that challenge.
It's two separate words. One, according to Rava, Rava's not arguing with Abaya.
According to the Gemara, is claiming that Rava needs tachas hashir, you know, for a totally different reason, and it's telling you that in general, when there's a chiyuv mamon and malchus,
right,
then you pay mamon and you don't pay malchus. Don't derive anything else from tachas sharina.
Why couldn't we?
Again, it's pshuto
shalom. It's for Boshe Zubakam.
With whom?
With Rava, and then leave tachas open for exertion?
Abaya is saying.
Yeah, that for some reason the Gemara doesn't ask that question. In other words, the next question the Gemara should have been, well, now that we have Ula's drasha, I'm sorry, now that we have Rava's drasha, and Tachas Sharina is free for the Gzeir Shavu, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan accept that? For some reason, Rabbi Yochanan prefers Abaye over Rava. I'll tell you why I think he does, although I don't know, I'm sure in the Rishonim they discussed this, I didn't get a chance to research this. But probably, he's bothered by the following issue. When the Pasuk says, V'nasana isha shochev ima, That phrase Hashochev Ima is not a description of why he's paying the Knas, but who is paying the Knas. Now again, Rav is insisting on the superfluous addition of these two words. And again, we'll have to see what Rav Yochanan is doing with those two words and what he derives. For that I would take out a Torah Tmim is my favorite. I got that from my Bar Mitzvah as a gift. The Torah Tmimah. But so again, I don't want to bother anybody to get to Torah Tmimah. I know exactly where it is, but we're not going to slow ourselves down. But I'm just pointing out that the Tachas Hashoreino of Abaye is a lot smoother than the Hashochev Ima of Rava, because Tachas Hashoreino is telling you exactly why he's paying the Knas. Azoi Shtei. That's even Pshuta Shel Mikra. V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochev ima, this person has to pay, etc., etc. And why? Tachas ha'sharina. What do you mean tachas ha'sharina? There are a whole bunch of things here that he caused her, not just the inui. He caused her boshes. He caused her pagam. The Gemara is going to say later on, pagam means that the person won't pay the same amount of ksuba when he marries a woman who's already had another man, you know, even though it was a rape situation. We're not judging her. And perhaps she suffered under him. And all these losses that come under the parasha of Tashlumei Chavala, he's going to have to pay. So why did the Torah add Tachas Sharina as an answer to the question why he's paying the knas? The answer is, because the Torah wants to tell you that's why he's paying the knas, but there are other payments that he has to pay for other reasons because of other losses that she suffered, and those are compensations under the law of Nezikin. And that's why I think the Gemara doesn't even bother asking why didn't Rabbi Yochanan accept the drush of Rava, because I think the drush of Abaye is much more to the point. But that still is a good, valid question. I'm sure the Rishonim are going to address that question. So what do we have now? Let's just make a summary. We're in the middle of the sugya, but let's make a temporary summary of the sugya. We have now Ula. Ula has this gzeir shav of tachas tachas, and it teaches us that whenever there's an overlap of mamon and malchus, you pay the mamon and you don't get the malchus. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have tachas. Tachas as a gzeirah shava, because he holds like Abaye, we need it for another din to teach me that knas is in addition to boshes upagam. But rather, Rabbi Yochanan says that in the case of kedei rishaso, mishum risha achas atomachayva, we're going to give malchus. Well, that's a very nice piece of logic, but we have at least two clear cut exceptions to that rule, and that's the case of chovil v'chavero and edim zomimim. And the answer to those two questions is this Nesina business, meaning Miad Liad or Yinasein Lo. And these psukim tell me that in each of those two cases, the general rule of Malchus and not Mamon is going to be suspended, but only in those two cases where the Torah went out of its way. Now, the Gemara had a gigantic Havamina here that occupied our minds for a long time, that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan rejected Ula is not because of Abaye and Tachas and Mufta and all that, but rather, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan rejected Ula is for a different reason, because Ula has undermined the Malchus of Allah. So, Balachoso, there's no Malchus. How could that be? And the Gemara turns that back to Ula, back to Rabbi Yochanan. You know, it rebounds off the off the wall, and it boomerangs against Rabbi Yochanan, because in the case of Chavol, there's also a violation of law, and yet the Torah says he pays, he doesn't violate the law. The answer is in the case of Chavol of Hakos, Pachos Mishave Pruta, he's going to get Malchus. Then the Gemara says, well, what are you going to do with Edim Zomim, where the Torah says Kasha Zomam with Yad Liad, which means that he pays the moment, he doesn't get the Malchus. What are you going to do with the lav of Pen Yosef? And the Gemara answers, I'm sorry, the lav of Losan and Brachet Shaker. The Gemara answers, that's a case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. there's no moment here there's no fulfillment of what? Of Kasher Zomam. We can't make him into a Cholol, and hence he's going to get Malchus. Now the Gemara turns around and says, if that Oy Bazoy, then in the case of Achoso, clearly there will be Malchus. Why? Because the only time the Torah substitutes the Mamon for the Malchus is in the case of a Nara. But if she's a Bogeres, Enochinami, we would get Malchus. So we must find another answer to the question, what inhibited Rabbi Yochanan from accepting the position of Ula? And the final Maskana is because he needs Tachas for Abaye's drush. Now, before the Gemara said that why is Edim Zomimim an exception to the rule, and he pays Mamon and he doesn't get Malchus, so the Gemara says that it's based on the Pasuk Kasher, of Yad Biyad. So Yad Biyad is called Beferish Ripsa Torah Edim Zomimim Limamon. Rabbi Yochanan says that I can give you a different answer to this question. There's another reason why there's no Malchus in the case of Edom Zomim. Forget about this drush of Miad Liad. I'll tell you why there's no Malchus for Losan and Reachet Shoker in the case of Edom Zomim. And the answer is, Bishum There's no way, no how, that we can give Asra in the case of Aden Zomimim. When two witnesses come into court, we can't warn them and say to them, listen, buddy, if you're plagiarizing yourself, I'm sorry, if you're perjuring yourself, those are two words that I always confuse, right? If you're perjuring yourself, you will get Malchus. We can't say that. Those words cannot come out of our mouth. And if we can't say it, then there's no way we can give him Malchus. So therefore, we're going to fulfill Kasha Zomam by making him pay the mamon that he tried to make the nidon pay, but not with Malchus. So the Gemara now asks, why does Rabbi Eliezer assume that you can't give Asra? For any lav in the Torah, you can give Asra. Why can't I give a Asra for perjury? Well, my Rava, Teda, I'll give you the scoop. Nisrebu Emas, at what point can we give Nasra? Now, what we're about to learn here on the top of, I'm sorry, what we're about to learn here on the Svara of Rava is what I call, if you pardon the phrase, I mean, I'm borrowing this from, I think it's in basketball, if I'm not mistaken, tell me if I'm getting my sports mixed up, a technical foul. Is there such a phrase in basketball, a technical foul? What I mean by a technical foul is that Rava says that just technically, we cannot orchestrate Asra in the case of Adam Zomim. And that's going to be Nisru Bey Emas. I'm going to try all sorts of possibilities to see at what point I can give him Asra. None of them is going to work out. Hence, there's no Asra. It's not a conceptual breakthrough over here. What we're going to find later on in Abaye is we're going to have a conceptual breakthrough as to why Edom Zomimim will not get Asra. But right now, Rav is working on a pure mechanical level. And he says the following. Nisru Bumei Kara. The Edom come into Bezdin. And we say to them, you know, Reuven and Shimon, nice gentlemen, what are you doing here in the court? Well, what brings you here to the court? So their answer is, we came to give testimony. Okay? So we came to give testimony. And we're going to give you Asra. Now, when exactly are we going to give them Asra? Meaning, what Rav is trying to analyze is juxtaposing the Asra with the actual Haggadas Edus. Now, when the Edom come into Beis Din, we still have a ways to go until they actually testify. You know, the testimony will be a very formal, you know, ritual legal action that's going to take place under very controlled conditions. But right now, the Edom came into Beis Din. We don't even know what they're about to testify. They just say, we came in to testify. And we have to warn them at this point in time that if you're perjuring yourself, you will get Malchus. Like we do in any case of a person who's about to commit a crime, and we give them Asra. The only thing is that the Asra that we give for any other crime, let's say for Shatnez or Achilas, you know, Macholas Tmeim and so forth and so on, that Asra has to take place right exactly before the violation of the law. That's called Toch Kedei Dibur. So clearly, when the Edom come into Beis Din, we're way ahead of the game here as far as the actual Edus is concerned, right? We're going to have to find out why they want to testify. Is there a Tviya? Is there this case, that case? And so forth and so on. So the Gemara says that Hasra is too early. Okay, too early. They're not yet ready to violate that Hasra through Edus Sheker. Is Amri... And again, the Gemara uses technical language here, but I think there's something much more profound going on. But the language of the Gemara, on a very balabatish level, is Amre, the Edom will come forward, and when we want to meet out the Malchus because of this Asra, they're going to claim Ishtalayim. Ishtalayim means Shachafti. I forgot the Asra. Again, that's a realistic term when you're talking in psychological terms. Here we're talking in halachic terms. What Ishlei means is that when the criminal implements his criminal act, his avera, toch kidei dibur of the asra, then he clearly demonstrates that he's aware of the law. You know, he can't plead the fifth, as we said. He is aware of the fact that he's violating this Isur. If the Asra comes too early, then there's no connection, there's no tziruf between the Asra and the Maisa Avera. Once we break up that tziruf through Liachar Kedei Dibur, then we apply this principle of maybe he forgot the Asra. You know, I'm learning, at the same time I'm learning Sukkos, I'm also learning Sanhedrin. And in Sanhedrin, what you find very often is the Gemara gives like this kind of a psychological explanation, but when you study the sugya carefully, the psychological explanation of the Gemara is just I would call it almost a means of communication. But what the Gemara really means is something much, much more profound on a halachic level, and it has to do with the entire underpinnings of how the halacha operates. And the Gemara sometimes will give it like a psychological explanation. You know, like the Gemara will say, well, you know, ain't other mason matzvah Russia. Right, so on a psychological level, you could say what that means is that a person would not incriminate himself. But when you learn the Gemara more carefully, it has to do with psuli edus, and it's not psychological. It's legal. It has to do with the fact that an adam is a karav etzel atzmo, and a karav is psuli edus, and even Moshe v'Aaron are psuli edus. I mean, there are. You understand? I'm just giving you one example. Maybe it's not the best example, but. There are many times where the Gemara offers what seems to be a psychological thing. Maybe he forgot the Asra. Now, how long is Tok Kedei Dibur? It's about 2 seconds? What, after 2 seconds he forgot the Asra? We just finished telling him that we're going to put you to death in a capital case for perjury. Did I get that word right? Perjury. Oh, I got it right. Okay. So you're going to tell me 2 seconds went by since the Asra. I mean, give it a break. Do you really mean what you say?
In Cana Satellite, sure. You have to have a boundary.
Correct, and the boundary is Tokhine Dibur. That's the way the halacha links up the Asra with the Edus. Okay, so we can't give him Asra when he comes into Bez. Nisribu Bishas Maisa. Meaning, at the very moment that he's beginning to tell the story and testify, then we'll give him Asra. That also is not acceptable. Why? Parshe v'lo misade. So I asked myself the following question. I witnessed a crime, correct? Now, just imagine that you're not a Ben Torah. You're not, you know, you're a secular Western person, right? You live in whatever country you live in. And you witnessed a crime. What are you going to do with that information that you have? So if you're the tzaddik hadar, you'll come into a court and you'll testify. If you're the rank and file citizen, then you can apply the basic principle, the most basic ethical principle of the Western world, which is mind your own business. Or, why should I put my neck on the line and come in to testify if the mafia is going to go after me? You follow what I mean? It's like the famous story, I think it happened in London, but it probably happens in every city in the West, that a man came onto a train and he started molesting people. All of a sudden, everybody is reading the London Times. You know, like they're all blind. They don't see what's going on, why people are being killed on the train. Mind your own business. So the Torah has a different hashkafa, and it says, Lo Samen Al Dachar Eid Shokar. So this is a great, you know, since I'm talking to you as future Darshanim or past Darshanim, this is a great subject for a drasha. But the Gemara is saying that if you warn the Edim at the moment that they're about to give their Edus, my friends, you're putting your life on the line. Because if two other Edim come in and testify, you're going to be put to death. I'm out of here. I'd rather stay home. So again, on a technical level, again, this is all psychological. We have to understand on a deeper level what Rav is saying here. But Rav is saying we cannot give Asra to Edim right before they give their Edus, because nobody in their right mind is going to go through with the Edus knowing that they're putting themselves vulnerable to a Chiv Misa. Nisrubul Vasov. So now Rav has a beautiful chah. Why don't we give Nasra after they gave the Eidus? Because Tolkid Eidibu works in two directions. When you need a tziruf, you can either be mitzarefit before, or you can be mitzarefit afterwards, like the Gemara says in Brachos. Right, call out mitzvahs kulam brachalem. Over Lasiya, so it has to be right before he does the Asiya. So the Gemara asks, so what do we do in the case of a ger who cannot say Asher Kitchanim Mitzvosa before he goes down to the mikvah? So the Gemara says, immediately after he goes down to the mikvah, he makes the bracha. Because Tolkien and Dibra makes it so much in both directions.
The Hasra is supposed to be prevented. What could it do if it's after the fact?
So you see that the Hasra here is not prevented to him. No. Here we have something called Chazara Tokhtabedin, right? We have a rule called Kevin Shehigit Shemeh Nechozer Magid. Now, Chozer Magid has a lot of applications, but on the simplest level, it means he can't rescind his Eidus. Once you give your Eidus, that's it. There's no retracting your Eidus. It's not like the case of, well, I should say it's like the case of Zorek Chetz. You know, it's not like the case of a person who's holding the knife and he's carrying the knife. Oh, so now, if we give him Nasra Tokidei Dibur, again, you have to know how Tokidei Dibur works, because Tokidei Dibur actually pushes Tokidei Dibur more and more and more, if you follow what I mean. Like, for example, let's say you have a string of 50 witnesses. So the 50th witness is part of the same Eidus as the first witness, and 5 hours have gone by. But the answer is that each witness subsequent gives his testimony, Tokidei Dibur, the first one, and that gives you a whole chain of Tokidei Dibur. So now, if the Eidim will be Chozer Bahem, after the Hasra, they can still be Chozer Bahem, even though it's more than Tokidei Dibur since they're Eidus, because in the meantime they got Hasra. So the Hasra will extend the Tokidei Dibur, and now the Hasra is meaningful because the Eidim could now rescind their Eidus. But the Gemara thinks psychologically, again, if you take the Gemara on a psychological level, that the chances of the aid being chozer bo, because of the scare and the fear of Eidim Zomim, etc., Asra, is not the same as before they gave the Eidus. But this is a deep psychology here. The Gemara is working with the, you know, this is a pre-Freudian psychology, that if they're about to give the testimony, you're going to scare the living daylights out of me. I'm out of here. Once I gave the testimony, for some reason, I'm not going to be so scared about the implications of your Hasra. Lenny?
No, I'm just thinking, isn't the actual giving Eidus inherent that it has to be zomable, sort of thing?
It has to be. I didn't hear the next word.
Be able to be zomer.
Correct. That's called eidus shatayochel
asin. It's not. You can't accept the eidus.
Correct. So again, we want to set up a situation where, at the same time, there's a parsha of eidim zomim, which means that we're going to give these eidim exactly what they wanted to beat out to the nidon. But at the same time, there's no asra. It's wild. I mean, you're about to kill the Eidim as Eidim Zomim. You didn't even give him the Asra. And Rava says we can't give Asra, period. There's no way. If we give it too early, it's too early. If we give it Peshas Maisa, they're going to be Poresh and they won't give the Eidim. If we're going to give it after the Eidim, so we'll at least give it after the Eidim. That sounds like a good idea. So the Gemara says, Maida Hava Hava. They've already testified. So what happened to the din of Chazor Tokidei Dibur? I don't know. The Gemara seems to be oblivious to that fact, and I thought the whole kasha of Nisri Bu Basof was predicated on the assumption that they still have a possibility of Chazara. So here you have Afla and a Beis Yaakov. Beis Yaakov was the Nesivus. He says the following: Kasha came under Tzrichim Asra Nimtza to call Od Shlo Hisru Bahem Et Sheves Edus. Just 1 second. This is a different kasha. Where's the kasha about Chazara? Alright, I'm not finding it right now. But anyway, this is an interesting kasha in and of itself. And that is that since we need the Hasra, just 1 second. Came in Shetzrichem Hasra. Right, the premise here of Rava is that we really fundamentally do need a Hasra, which means that in the absence of Hasra,
You looking at those Tesvav? You looking for that?
Yeah, Tesvav publication. Is there another one over there that you can find for me? Yeah, I haven't been calling out the numbers here because I forget that you have it on your screen. But from now on, remind me that I'll tell you which number I'm learning, because what you could do is learn a different number while I'm learning this number. We'll make it into a joy.
Then I'll know nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, you can read and listen at the same time. I know you feel you can do that. Right, right. We were talking. So I'm reading Tesvav, but if you don't mind reading your Gimel at the same time, I'll wake you up if you have to hear anything about Tesvav. I promise you. Right. So if you could do your Gimel and your Dal.
And your Dal. Your Tesvav is only 4 lines. You're giving me.
Yeah, I'm giving you the bulk of the work. Okay, it's not fair. Okay, fine. Okay. You know what? For my part, you skip your Dalet. Your Dalet has to do with the sugya called Asra Sufik. That's not. I don't think that's. But the concept of shichacha here. There's a ketzos which I if you can research that a number you'd give. But let me just. I was just curious about this hafla here, and he says the following. It's short, but it's hard to understand. He says, Kevan the Tzrichim Asra, meaning Rava admits in principle that we need to give the Edom Asra. He says technically we can't fulfill, we can't implement that. But fundamentally we need Asra. Oh. So therefore, if we need Asra, then Madua Einom Yecholim Lachzor Bahem. Right, the Torah says Kevon Shehigid Shuvene Chozer Magid. The word Shehigid means that he's given what's a valid Eidus. Once his Eidus was delivered, was enunciated, then Kevon Shehigid Shuvene Chozer Magid. But here, it's not a valid Eidus yet. Why? Because we're holding now that you need Asra. It's very similar to our Kasha. The question is what his answer is. Do you hear? Is everybody with me on this? If you need a Hasra for the Edim, then the Edus is incomplete until after the Hasra. If the Edus is incomplete, then it's not Kevon Shehigid Shuvein and Chozer Magid. They could be Chozer Bahem because the Edus hasn't completed itself and we're still under the influence of Higid. You know, they're still Magidim.
But they wouldn't be Chayiv on because the Edus didn't mean anything.
No, but we're saying the following. Let's give them a Hasra after the Edus. The Edus is incomplete until after the Hasra. Why? Because we need Hasra. And the Edus is disqualified until after the Hasra. So that'll give him an opportunity to be Chozer by him. Why? Because Kol's mind that the Edus is incomplete, there's no Kevin Shehigid, because Kevin Shehigid means once there's Haggadah. Haggadah means Haggadah Shlema. Yeah. Right? That's Menachem Kasher authored a book called Haggadah Shlema, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. But here in this context, we need Haggadah Shlema, which means that we can punish them if they didn't give a true Edus, and instead they perjured themselves. So the Asra is going to complete the Edus. As long as the Asra has not been given, the Edus is incomplete. Hence, there's no Kevin Shehigid, and they can be Chozer by him. So what does Gemara mean when it says Maida Hava? So he tells you to look for an answer in the Hafla, the Beis Yaakov, in Rabbi Kivager. Let me just see by chance, and maybe you could also wait. Just give me a second, Al. I just want to see if I'm wasting my time here. But you know, in the back of the Masifta, there's something called the Yalkut Diur, right? So, what page are we on? Lamed Gimel, correct? I just want to quickly see if there is anything here in the Yalkut Diur. Okay. So where are we? On Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph? So where's my Dahava Hava? Is it here? Is it not here? Just 1 second. He doesn't tell you where to look in that fly. I assume it's Afinart. You know, there's a Chidush Afla on Ksuba, so it probably is Lamed Gimel. Herb Ewell. Okay. So I'm just taking a look here at my Dahava Hava, if possibly he gives you a little bit of an overview here. I don't see it offhand, which is a little bit disappointing. V'nisri b'hutoch kivei dibur. Alright, that we could have said on our own. But what about this Maida Hava Hava business?
Maida Hava Hava means that he gave the Asra after the ages.
And it's too late, as if to say exactly. They can't be Chozer Behem. But why not? I mean, if we need the Asra, then the ages is incomplete. That's the Kash of the Achronim here. This room, Chokhle Dibu. Achronim, he didn't talk to the Dibu. Yeah, and that's serious. Okay.
See, the premise of the kasha is that if he did have Hasra after the ages, and he didn't change his mind, the ages would be good.
Right.
That's a flawed assumption, because the very fact that he had the possibility to change his ages means the ages was no good.
No, but he didn't avail himself of that opportunity.
No,
so the anus is valid.
It doesn't matter because a real anus doesn't have that as an option.
Every anus has the option of chazorah. The question is how long that option applies.
The chazorah.
So he finishes his haggadah and then he no longer has the option of being chazorah.
Well,
so the Gemara says, well, we can fit in hasra, but we can't fit in hasra. Why? So the Gemara says, "Cause my da'ava hava." But we're asking a different kasha. What we're asking is, what do you mean my da'ava hava? It's not my da'ava hava, because up until the hasra and beyond, again, beyond means tokadei divur, the edus is incomplete. And if the edus is incomplete, there's no tokadei divur.
The answer, my da'ava hava, is exactly what I said, because it is over. Then you can't change the rules. If he's gave the edus and he doesn't have the possibility to change his mind.
Again, obviously, if he changes his mind after the Tokadei Dibur, he doesn't have the opportunity to change his mind, and that's when Nagoda becomes Shlema. But within Tokadei Dibur, we should certainly offer him the possibility. Again, Tokadei Dibur is a universal halacha that you can always change your mind.
Tokadei Dibur is not dependent on the Hasra.
No, I'm not saying it's dependent upon the Hasra. I'm saying that if the Hasra is necessary, and that seems to be the underlying premise of Rava, and this Eidus could not be a valid Eidus without the Asra, then the Haggadah is not complete until after the Asra. Now we can apply Tokadei Dibur, and he could be Chozer Bo at that particular moment. Oh, let's go on. Maskif Le'abaye. What are you telling me, Rava, that there's no possibility of Asra? V'nisri Bohu B'Tokadei Dibur. Ah, interesting. Here's the case. We have now two witnesses. There's Reuven and Shimon. Reuven gave his testimony, and now Shimon immediately begins his testimony. Now, as long as Shimon is testifying, it's still considered Tokadei Dibur.
Yeah.
So then Reuven could be Chozer Bo, even while and even after the completion of the Eidus of the second Eid. Now's a great time to shtup in Asra. Why? Because Reuven has given his Eidus.
The other one hasn't.
And Shimon has not started his Eidus yet. So immediately after Reuven completes his Eidus, Shimon starts his Eidus. At that point, we can give Reuven Asra. Why? Because he can be Chozer Bo. Because until Shimon completes his Eidus, we won't be able to... We won't, right? Until Shimon completes his Eidus, it's still considered Tokadei Dibur as far as Reuven's Eidus is concerned.
And why aren't we concerned that the second guy is going to run away?
Oh, so maybe the second guy will run away. That's what Yosef is asking. You've solved the problem of Tokadei Dibur vis-a-vis the first aid, and then you still have a chunk of time for Hasra. But what are you going to do with the case of the second aid? How can the second aid be given Hasra after he completes his Eidus? Once he completes his Eidus, the Eidus is complete, and there's no room for Hasra. So, in a certain sense, Abai has only solved half the problem. We understand how the first, second, or third Eidim, or whatever they are, can receive Asra, because it's all considered Tokadei. But what about the last one on the list? Is Abai saying that the only case of Eidim Zom is when there's more than two Eidim? And if there's more than two Eidim, we can give Asra to the first Eid during the testimony of the second Eid. We can give Asra to the second Eid during the testimony of the second Eid. The third aid. And now, Enochinami, the third aid will turn out to be an aid without Asra, because it's too late to give Masro once he completes his Eidus. Meaning, Abaye also accepts the principle of Maida Hava Hava, and after the Eidus it's too late to give the Asra, unless it's Tokhde Dibra of the Eidus itself, and now Tokhde Dibra schleps even beyond, because the second witness and then the third witness and so forth are testifying.
When you give Asra to Eidus, Eid Aleph, after you finish, you're not letting the second aide know about that. And as you're doing, so he doesn't hear. Is that what you're saying?
I guess so, right? Because otherwise he'll be scared and then run away. He'll be a yellow belly.
Wouldn't be called Asra. They didn't have Asra. I mean, the only way for him not to have Asra is they didn't hear you give Asra the first aid.
Right. And then the second aide will get his Asra while the third aide is testifying.
And he doesn't hear it either. So that's how the last one never is the moment of Asra.
Correct.
That's a strange thing.
There are a bunch of notes here in the Masifta. I didn't get a chance to go through them. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. There's note number Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Tes. Just on the words of Abaye, there are four different notes. Okay, Yud Zayin is not is Nishka Ferlov. He's just telling you to look in the Rashba. But Yud Ches is a major footnote. Yud Tes is gigantic. And there are two, I would say, pretty hefty, you know, Zaftiger footnotes here. I'll just give you at least a topic, so to speak, a theme or a heading to these footnotes. Footnote number Yud Ches is a kasha of the Achronim, and even the Rishonim, he says, already asked this kasha. How could they be chozer if the Hasra continues beyond Toch Kedei Dibur, and that itself becomes a hefsek between a dusam lechazara mimena? In other words, the Rishonim are not yet comfortable with the idea that the Hasra itself could extend the Toch Kedei Dibur. So, assuming that
it's Toch Kedei Dibur itself.
No, that I understand, that the Asra took place Toch Kedei Dibur of his Eidus, that's not a problem, but he's raising the issue. By the time the Asra is finished, it's certainly beyond Toch Kedei Dibur of the first Eidus. So we're not yet ready for this breakthrough that we've been assuming. We thought it was the underlying assumption that the Toch Kedei Dibur will extend the Eidus until after. I'm sorry. That the Hasra will extend the Eidus even beyond that. Okay, you'll take a look at the note, or I'll look at it. If you want to photocopy this, or maybe you feel could print it. Just 1 second. But then he has another kasha here in number Yutes. What's the kasha number Yutes? He says that the Gemara has already established earlier that we cannot testify. I'm sorry, we cannot give Masra while their testimony, because if they don't complete their testimony, they'll be yellow bellies and they'll run away. Mm-hmm. So he says, Yesh Lachu Shemi Yachzur Behem Machmas Pachad Vasra.
The Gemara says that.
So what do you gain by giving a person Asra afterwards? Again,
to say, I'm Ani Choserbi.
Correct. Well, that's the easiest way out, and that's what a yellow belly would do. So again, we have to somehow insist on this psychological distinction that we tried to push for before, that it doesn't take that much gumption to allow your Eidus to remain as is despite the Asra, but to go ahead and testify knowing full well in advance that you're about to expose yourself to the vulnerable past. Alright, so that's what we'll see. Maskiflorav Acha Bered Ravi. How much more time do we have?
5 minutes.
5 minutes? The Nisri Bahu Me Ikara Unarabis Bahu Remuze. So Rav Acha claims that he can solve the technical mechanical problem of when to fit in Asra in such a way that we don't scare the living daylights out of them. What do? When as soon as they come into Bezlin, we give them Asra. And what are they going to claim? Well, a minute passed or an hour passed and we forgot the Asra. So what we'll do is, we'll give them a remes. Maybe we'll speak to them in a softer language. We won't give them the full-fledged Hasra with all of its scare the living daylights out of you. But it'll be enough to guarantee that they still remember the original Hasra. Again, these are deep psychological principles here. That we're saying that there's a subtle difference between an early Asra which is subject to Shichacha, and a later Asra where, I'm sorry, and a later Remiza where the Remiza will be enough to jolt their memory in such a way that they cannot claim that we forgot the Asra, but yet it doesn't have that harsh tone of you're about to expose yourself to death, you know, you're walking into a lion's den. That we won't say to them. We'll just give them some sort of a Remiza.
The footnote here is he says,
which number you are
just looking first at the Masifta on top. He says something a little different than what you were saying, but it doesn't even make sense. He says that let's give them Hasra before they even come to Beis Din, because then they won't be afraid to and run away. Why not? I don't know. But how would I even know they're coming to testify if I'm doing it before they come to Beis
Din? That I don't know.
Who's running out to give them Hasra? The court.
Take a look on the same page. Do you see the first line of Nisru Bumei Kara on the right side? The first line on the page.
Yeah.
In dark print, it says Nisru Bimei Kara, correct? Now, in our context, it's the same Nisru Bimei Kara, the same three words, right?
Wait a second, on the right side there.
I'm sorry, the first line in the Masifta on page line, the Gimel Beis. The Nisru Bimei Kara. You see that? That's the same three words that come out of the mouth of Rav Acha.
Right.
So Lechora, the translation should be the same.
Right.
Now look at how he translates the first occasion. Not before they came into business.
Right.
So you have to write a letter to the editor here, because Nimarashach, you yourself are contradicting yourself. It's the same three words in the Gemara.
And he quotes the second one, he quotes the Rashi.
Oh, but let's take a look at Nirames Bahulur Musa. He says, Nirmaz Lahem Las Kiram Es Asra, but Beloshan Raka. So we won't give him that heavy duty, you're standing in front of the fire over here, you know, that you're about to burn yourself to death.
Instead of telling you nicely, you're going to be a shaheed.
Okay, but all this, Rabosai, is going to lead to a whole different understanding as to why there's no Asra in the case of Edom Zomim. And that's all derived from the Pasuk Vasisim Lo Kasher Kasher Zoma. So this is the almost at the end of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. And what Abai is going to do is he's going to extricate himself from the whole discussion that he himself had, this whole dialogue with Rava, in which he said, yeah, maybe we can find a way of giving Asra, Tokidei Dibur, and so forth and so on. And then he's going to say, no. The Pasuk Asher Zomim itself teaches me that there's no Asra for Edom Zomim, which means that we're talking about not this whole psychological impact of can we give him Asra and expect him to still go ahead with his Eidus and he hasn't yet completed his Eidus? No, forget about all those technicalities and technical fouls. It's just simply that the Torah says there's no Asra for Edom Zomim. And where does the Torah say that? In the Pasuk Kasher Zomim. So we know that tomorrow we'll pick up the...
Where does it say in that Pasuk? Any reading from that Pasuk?
Okay, so I wanted to leave that for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll just give it to you. But again, it's very profound. You know, I'm just botching it up here. He says the following. Kasher Zomim tells me that you have to treat the Edom the same way that they wanted to mete out a punishment to the Nidon.
Right.
And it's exactly the same. We can't add kulos and conditions to the Edom Zomim that don't exist for the Nidon, because Kasher Zomim means just turn the tables around, and we have to imagine that you were the Nidon. And if you were the Nidon, we're going to put you to death even without Asra, because the whole thing is a fabrication. So again, you can ask a million cash. I just wanted to tell you on a superficial level that Abaye is finding a more fundamental reason why there's no Asra for Edom Zomim. And that's written in the Pasuk Kasher Zomim, which means that we treat you as if you were sitting in the hot seat, you know, in the...
Since the Ryan Hatsi got Asra?
No, he didn't get Asra. The whole thing was a fabrication. Right?
But they're pretending he's a Asra. Then they came
right.
To Beis Din and
said, but in reality, he didn't get Asra. So we're going to give you exactly what you wanted to give them.
He didn't get Asra. Again,
there are 100 kashas that you can ask. Only because you pushed me, I wanted to leave this as the... You know, the punchline for tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
Now again, Rabosai, we're still involved in the whole parasha of the Rashba with regard to Kimlei the Rabbi in a case where he was a Rotzeach, or as the Rashba says at the end, that he's a Rodev, And if you get a chance, there's a Reb Chaim on Rodev, which I think might support my shot from yesterday. There are two dinim in Rodev. There's the Hatzolas Anudov and a separate Chiyuv on the Rodev, which might explain why the Achiezer says and the Yemei Moshe that there's some extension of the shame Rodev even beyond the Hatzolas Anudov. Remember the Radifa and Imshefes that we saw. So we need that if you can, we'll try to do that tomorrow. So like let's just see. I'm very curious to know if they're already now in Mincha.
Yes, they should.
So we have another minute. They haven't started Mincha.
They're a minute late.